Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
I'm Lisa Stone, and you're listening to Parenting Aces. Welcome to Season 12 of the Parenting Aces podcast. I'm a proud member of the Tennis Channel Podcast Network. I'm your host, Lisa Stone, and this week I have as my guest Rick Curnow from Canberra, Australia. Rick is a parent, he is a tennis player, and he is a mathematician who has developed a new app called Tennis Neutral, which helps players, coaches, parents look at the difference between two players' UTRs, come up with a game plan for having a neutral impact on the outcome of a match, a positive outcome for player A or a positive outcome for player B, hopefully relieving a lot of the stress involved in these UTR watchers who are so obsessed over making sure that their rating isn't negatively impacted from playing a match. So I'm really excited for y'all to hear from Rick. He explains it much more elegantly than I just did. So please stay tuned. If you'd like to watch the video version, you can do that on our YouTube channel or on parentingaces.com. Make sure to check out the show notes on parentingaces.com as well for a link and easy download of Tennis Neutral app. So now sit back, relax, and enjoy my conversation with Rick Curnow.
Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome, Rick, to the Parenting Aces podcast. It is a real pleasure to have you on and to get to hear more about Tennis Neutral and have you explain it to our audience. But before we jump in, I would love to ask you, what is your relationship to tennis? How did you get affiliated with the sport?
Hi, Lisa. Nice to be talking to you again. My tennis, I have a son who has ADHD, and tennis for him was a lifesaver. He was thrown out of class 43 times in fourth grade.
Oh, goodness.
And started playing tennis, and tennis gave him discipline, gave him an outlet for energy. It gave him a fitness regime. It gave him a really solid bunch of friends. It gave him the opportunity to experience difficult social situations, but in a very controlled environment on the tennis court. It's done wonders for him. I started playing tennis about 3 weeks after he did. I'm still playing and still enjoying it. Taking the kids to the tournaments, I'd often be on the side of the court with other parents. And at one event, there were a bunch of fathers watching the kids playing, and I said, we should form a tennis team. And all the other fathers went, yeah. So we did. We formed a tennis team, and we play. It's many years later now, and we the team's still going. We still play Monday night league tennis.
That is awesome. I love that story. I mean, that's what it's all about, right? Is connecting and forming relationships. I love it.
I'm so grateful for tennis and for what it's done for my family. It's been, it's made a difference. It's made a massive difference for my boy. He's not so serious about his tennis now. He's coming up to the end of school and he's now focused on the academics. But, you know, the experience of tennis, the focus and the other things that it was able to give him have stood him in good stead. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. Yeah. So tennis neutral. You got to talk to me about this because you and I had a conversation a couple weeks ago. Someone had reached out to me to tell me about you and what you were doing and to find out if I might be interested in having you on this podcast. And I was like, this is really interesting. I'm saying that without my audience really knowing why I'm saying that. So why don't you, Rick, give us a little bit of the kind of elevator pitch of what Tennis Neutral is, and then we can kind of do a deep dive into the nuts and bolts.
Sure. In a nutshell, Tennis Neutral will estimate the neutral. It works with UTR. Tennis Neutral will estimate the neutral point between players with different UTRs. So if you have a match coming up and players have different UTRs and you want to know what UTR would estimate those the ratio of games that those players would win in a match, then you can use Tennis Neutral to do that. If you've completed a match and you want to get an idea of whether that the outcome of that match was UTR positive for you or UTR positive for your opponent, you can do that as well. You can check the results. So there are two functions in the app. One is to predict what the likely outcome is with players of different UTRs, and the second is to input a match result with the two players' UTRs and see for whom that outcome is UTR positive.
Right. And to be clear, it is an app. It's something you can use on your phone. So it's with you all the time. And I mean, when I first heard about it, I was like, well, I'm not sure if this is a good thing or a bad thing. And I talked to you about that before. I would love to kind of revisit that conversation because one of the things that's happening here in the States, and you can tell me if you're seeing the same thing happening in Australia, is kids are ducking matches because they don't want to play someone with a much lower UTR than their own for fear that it's going to negatively impact their UTR if they don't perform at a certain level in the match. And God forbid they lose the match, you know, what's that going to do to their UTR? And I asked you about that and I was like, isn't knowing this information ahead of time just going to make that problem more prevalent? And your answer to that is?
In general, with most kids, like you say, that some kids can get very stressed when, you know, before UTR, they just had to win. And it was that simple. You just won the match and you moved on. It meant that, you could do different things. Once you were sure, once you were confident of your position in the match, you could relax, you could enjoy yourself, you could experiment. When you have the added pressure of UTR, it can get very, very confusing and very stressful for the kids. And that was actually the principal motivation for me in putting the app together. Tennis Australia possibly have overemphasized the use of UTR in Australia. They've made it the principal rating mechanism and done away with rankings. They're backtracking from that position now. And by doing that, they put pressure on people to perform for UTR all the time. And I've seen kids getting very, very stressed about that. I spoke to Tennis Australia and who are UTR in Australia and said, you know, you have to share this information where this neutral point is so that when kids are going into a match, they know what they need to do to get a UTR positive result, because you have made it so important, this UTR thing. You've made it the the only rating mechanism that you use. And they said, no, we're not going to do that. And I said, well, if you don't, I will. And they said, you can't. So I did. and it wasn't very hard to do, honestly.
See, this is why I really like you, Rick. We're going to be really good friends. Yeah. Don't tell me I can't. I'm going to do it.
And I've gone back to them several points and said, look, I'm at this point now. I would much rather you take this on and take it because you're the authority. And they have declined to do that. As far as the kids are concerned, I can break them. The competitive kids can break them into two main groups. Most kids, what I find is that it's the not knowing that stress them out. Mm. That give them tennis neutral, let them find out where that neutral point is, what they need, what kind of score they need to outperform in terms of their UTR and once they know, they forget about it. Yeah. And they go and they play and they, you know, they do their best on the court, and afterwards they can check the UTR and they go, oh yeah, hey, I was UTR positive, or oh, I was UTR negative. I kind of felt that maybe I didn't play so well today. That's most kids. And it just takes the stress away. Whereas, you know, previously they were finishing the match and they're going, oh, my UTR, did I get, what's going to happen? How, you know? And then there are another set of kids who are like the ultra competitive kids, the ones who are really serious about moving on. And they use the app to set a target for themselves in the match. They can see where the neutral point is. They can see what they need to do to move their UTR in a positive direction, and they'll set themselves a target in that match and in every match they play, because they are determined to outperform and move on in the tennis world. And for them, the UTR provides them with a real target instead of a reflection point. And then, of course, there are people, you know, who are not so concerned about the UTR, who might go, oh, that's interesting, and leave it at that.
Right. Are you finding that people are surprised by what the app tells them in terms of a match being UTR neutral or UTR positive or UTR negative, that an individual match doesn't have as great an impact as maybe they previously thought before being able to see in the app?
Okay, so the app doesn't. What the app does is very limited. It doesn't tell you how much impact a match is going to have on your UTR.
Okay.
It only tells you whether your result is positive or negative.
Okay.
It would be a lot more work for me to to reverse engineer the whole UTR thing, and they go to a lot of trouble to make that hard as well.
Yeah. Well, and that's one of the things that you point out, Rick, on the website is, you know, the algorithm that Universal Tennis uses, they've not been very forthcoming about how that algorithm works. And so that's been a source of frustration for data people for sure, but for the players and parents as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, to get all mathematical about it, it would be easier to just develop a different metric, a different meter, and then find some data points to match them up rather than trying to reverse engineer the whole UTR. But really that's not what I set out to do. What I wanted to do was reduce the stress that the kids were feeling. That was my principal motivation. I'm disappointed that UTR haven't responded to calls to particularly to make that neutral point transparent. I'm not suggesting that they hand over the whole app and how the whole thing works, although UTR distinguishes itself from most ELOs. UTR is a modified ELO. I can explain what that means as well if you like.
I do want you to do that.
But most ELOs are fairly transparent about the way they work. Okay, so... in, I think, the early 60s or late 50s, the US Chess Federation wanted a new way of ranking or rating players' abilities at chess and engaged a Hungarian mathematician, I forget his first name, but his last name was Elo, to devise a system, which he did. And it's and Elo is a system where you have a rating, and on the basis of that rating and your opponent's rating, the system suggests what the most likely outcome of a match between the two of you will be. And if you outperform, your rating goes up. If you underperform, your rating goes down. So that's the group of rating systems to which UTR belongs. It's a modified ELO system.
And World Tennis Number is also a modified ELO system, correct? The ITF rating.
Yeah, ITF system. I haven't looked at it that closely, but it looks very much like an ELO. I've just passed over it. Yeah. And like I was saying, if rather than reverse engineer the whole UTR, what I'd be more inclined to do is to find, I mean, with as few as 30 players who have both a World Tennis Number and a UTR, you can come up with a fairly accurate translation of one to the other.
Okay.
It's not that hard to do. And that would much easier than trying to reverse engineer UTR.
Got it. But I mean, the thing is that we're seeing, like you said, the kids stressing out over, they look at a draw, they look up the UTR of the opponent. Mm. Maybe it's a full point below them. They don't want to play the match because if they lose or if they don't win, 6-1, 6-1 or, whatever, then they have this fear that their own UTR is going to drop as a result of playing this match. So rather than play the match and have the experience and learn, that classroom test opportunity, they pull out of the event or they, for whatever reason, they don't play and they're losing. I mean, it harms the player, not... It's such a wonky way of looking at things. And so the hope is that by using tennis neutral, maybe you take away some of that feeling of, I don't want to play this kid because it's going to be a UTR negative experience for me. Maybe once they look up on tennis neutral and realize that you have lots of opportunity here to either stay the same or have your UTR go up, then hopefully they relax, go play the match, take advantage of having that opportunity to learn on the court.
I mean, sometimes when the kids look at it and they're playing someone who's a lower UTR, I mean, the fairly common response is, oh, that's all? That's all I have to win by?
Yeah.
They're playing someone who's lower. They don't have to win 6-1, 6-1. They have to win, 6-4, 6-3 to get a positive. Okay. But again, like I said, it's just the not knowing that really stresses them. Once they know whether they've had a positive outcome or a negative outcome, and they're comfortable with that. I mean, we all have good days and bad days on the tennis court. Here I live in Canberra. One of the things that's happened here, there's a tournament or a league that runs that doesn't count for UTR, and it's very popular.
With the kids?
And with it's an adult league, but we're increasingly the kids are getting involved.
Interesting.
Because it gives them the opportunity to play a wide variety of opponents and in matches that don't count for the UTR. So that, if they come up against an adult opponent who plays a very different kind of game to theirs and their game plan collapses in the face of, say, what do you call it? Slice and dice. Someone slices and dices them.
Yeah.
When they're used to the kids who are coming up competitively are playing a baseline, a top-heavy game and trying to keep the opponent at the back of the court, and then they suddenly find someone's sending them all over the court and slicing and drop shots and all these things that they're unfamiliar with. So, you know, that, and their game can collapse. So that's not, and then that's not counting for the UTR. So that, you know, you can get your, well, I can get myself in a situation where I'm enjoying myself watching a kid working really hard in a situation that they're completely unused to. And at the end of the match, we've both had a ball. That's outside the UTR.
So, I mean, there's definitely a need for match play that doesn't impact a rating or a ranking, because kids have to feel that freedom to experiment, to try new things, to work on maybe things that they've been working on in private lessons or in drill groups. And not worry that, you know, now I'm not going to be able to get into this next tournament because my UTR dropped. And I don't know what the overall answer is, other than to kind of have a shift in mindset with parents, with coaches, and with players, that every match is a learning opportunity. And one match doesn't define you as a player. No one single match is what, you know, what determines if you're going to be great or not great. And
UTR say this as well, like that they're constantly asking people to not stress out about this particular, you know, any one particular match, that playing good tennis over a long time, this is what's going to improve your UTR anyway, so get out there and play. I mean, and not just like you're saying, they, you know, previously where the kid would be in front in a match, it would then be an opportunity to try out some of those new techniques that they've been working on in training. And of course, the other thing is for kids coming back from injury.
Yes.
You know, they've been injured, they're coming back, and they're nowhere near their peak. And if they're having to play UTR and they the first four or five matches, their results are going to be well below where they'll be and where we know they'll be next week or the week after. And that can, and I've seen it have, you know, a significant impact on UTR, and that which can then, of course, rule them out of tournaments or reduce their access to support and things like that. So
I don't know what the real answer is, because I mean, like you said, Universal Tennis has said over and over and over again, look, we're a snapshot of where you are in this given time. It's not a predictor. It's not, you know, a judgment. It's just, you know, your rating based on the most recent matches you've played, this is the level you're playing. And it's really a shame that we've kind of blown it all out of proportion, but it's human nature, I guess. And we're all competitive beings at heart in some way, shape, or form. And you know, we set these goals for ourselves, and especially our kids that are on these competitive pathways, they have lofty goals, and it takes a lot of work and commitment to reach those goals.
I'm inclined to think that UTR is basically a good thing. Like you say, it's a snapshot. It gives coaches in different parts of the country the opportunity to compare players and know that they're roughly similar. I'm inclined to think that it's been overemphasized. I wouldn't want to lose, you know, the benefits of UTR, but certainly with the ultra competitive kids, a ranking system, some kind of ranking system is if that's their principle, you know, is their prime, should be their primary motivation in the matches, and not being concerned about the UTR. UTR is better if it floats along in the background and gives you a measure that you can use to compare this group with that group, to arrange groups of players who are of roughly similar level into a competition, but without making it the be all and end all, but not making it the ultimate measure of tennis performance.
What's so interesting to me, Rick, is that UTR doesn't order players. It is not a ranking, right? It doesn't tell you you're number one, you're number two, you're number three. It just gives you this rating, and there can be, in a draw, there can be multiple players with the same rating. So then it comes down to actually playing the match. And in that event, obviously somebody's going to finish number one, number two, number three on down.
Right.
But it's very difficult to say you're number one in the country if you're just basing that on a rating system and there's no ranking attached to it. So I agree with you. I think there needs to be both. But I also, go ahead.
Something that I suggested to UTR and I haven't had any response is to develop in parallel to the UTR rating system is a ranking system where when you're playing approved tournaments or that every time you go on court to play, you get ranking points. Sorry, the winner of the match gets ranking points that are equal to the sum of both players' UTRs.
Ooh.
So for example, if I'm a six, then you'd expect me to win half my matches against someone who's a six. So mm-hmm. if I play 10 matches, then I'd have a total of say 60 points. So is that right? Hang on. So I'd have 60 points after having played 10 matches if I won exactly half of my matches against someone else who was on a six. And so if you counted your best, say your best five results, so if I played 20 matches and I'd won 10 of them, my ranking would still be 60.
Mm-hmm.
But then if I went out and I played someone who was a seven and I beat them, then my best result would be a 13, a six plus a seven, and my ranking would go up to 61.
Yeah.
And at the same time, of course, my UTR would go up so that the next time I played a match, I'd start at 6.1 or something else so that I'd be playing for more points. So I've suggested that to UTR and I haven't had a response as yet.
Okay, UTR, if y'all are listening, this is brilliant. You need to pay attention to this and reach out to Rick because I love that. I love that it's a sum of the two opponents. That makes so much sense.
It would be so easy to do because it requires absolutely no new infrastructure because the UTR is already there. It's just another page on the spreadsheet, if you like.
Yeah.
And furthermore, what it also does is it takes away, you know, between tournament directors, when they had ranking points, there's always an argument about how many points get allocated to this tournament. What do you get, right? And that's all gone because the points that are allocated to any match are determined automatically by the UTR rating of the players playing the match. It's elegant. It's very simple. Could solve a whole lot of
solutions like this because it's so logical. Good. And what it does is also, I don't know how tournaments are structured in Australia, but our USTA system, we have seven levels of junior tournaments. Right. A level one is the highest and level seven is entry. And a level seven tournament earns much fewer ranking points than a level one tournament.
Yeah.
And what has been happening recently is top players, because with COVID, there were so many fewer tournaments, top players were just struggling to find tournaments to play. And so they were dropping down and playing level five tournaments where they didn't belong at all and bumping out the true level five players because the draws were being filled. And so what your system does is it takes a draw, it opens it to anybody that wants to play. So a kid that is, you know, feeling that need to kind of test their mettle against a higher rated player would have the opportunity to do that. For the higher rated player, if they win or they lose, it's not likely going to affect their ranking at all because it's not going to be in their top five match results, right? So there's no stress of, oh, I'm messing up my ranking by playing this match. It's just a win-win.
Yeah, I hope so. Oh, well, I'd love to talk to UTR or anyone about it.
Okay. Mark Leschly, if you're listening, Chase Hodges, if you're listening, we're going to get this one into their hands. I love this. So, okay. So you've got this app. Tell us how we get the app. Is there a price attached to it? And I want to talk about the Nick Kyrgios Foundation.
Sure. I was going to say, can we mention Nick Kyrgios in here?
Absolutely.
Somewhere? Okay. So when I first put the app together, I just put together an algorithm and I had a sheet that I was going to share. I was just going to give it away. And people said, Rick, we'll pay you for that. And I thought, well, I don't want to make any money out of this. I had a group of volunteers at the Australian National University, some master's level computing students give me a hand, and we put together a working version that worked on Android. And then I had some help from a local developer, Robert Bleeker, who then turned it into a very slick little app for Android and for iPhone. And you can find it in the respective stores, or simply go to tennisneutral.com and find your way from there. It's very, very easy to do. The app is 10 Australian dollars, which is about $6.70 US, I think, today.
Right. Oh, now I've got you back. Go ahead.
You're back. Yeah. Okay. So where will I get back to? So
the cost. The app is
The cost?
The cost.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the app is 10 Australian dollars, which at today's exchange rate is, I think, about $6.70 US.
Okay.
Which is a fairly expensive app, I guess.
More than free, but not unaffordable.
When you're serious about your tennis, it's not a big spend. It's right. It's a couple of balls.
Right.
Like I said, I didn't set out to make money from the thing. So I called Christos at the Nick Kyrgios Foundation and said, "Hey, look, I've got this thing. People reckon they're going to pay for it. Do you want to make it? Do you want to put it on the foundation? Make it. I'm happy to give it to the foundation. Do you want to take it?" And they said, "Yes, please." So, so that's what we've done. So even if you spend your $6.70 on the app and use it once or twice and go, okay, that worked, and leave it at that, then you can still feel good because your cash has gone to help the foundation.
And what does the foundation do?
So Nick is fairly generous with his time for young players. He spends a lot of time with kids, and he puts a lot into supporting, in particular, the players with fewer opportunities. Nick's background is not a wealthy background, and I think he appreciates where the kids are at in Australia at the moment. The foundation provides support, particularly coaching support, for young players in four states. It does good things for kids. And Nick, like I said, Nick is also generous with his time there.
Yeah. I love that. You know, I in the States, we know Nick through a lot of his antics, and certainly now with the Breakpoint document or series on Netflix, right, that has featured him. And I hear that the next few episodes he's going to be featured again. So I'm looking forward to that. He is a character, and I think he's great for tennis. I would get a lot of pushback from people when I say that, I do think he's great for tennis. And I love hearing that he has set up this foundation and that its focus is on kids and helping kids get into the sport and have opportunities in the sport. I think that's, you know, incredible. And so, spend your $6.70, use the app, and you know, if it works and you find it useful, awesome. If you don't find it so useful, well, you've helped support youth tennis. And so that's always a win.
That's right. Before we finish up, Lisa, I'd like to point out for coaches how the app could possibly work.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
For them as well. So I can see two. I mean, coaches can use it to, firstly, to monitor performance. So if you have a player who is playing, for example, on different surfaces, playing some matches on hard courts, some on grass, some on clay, then you can simply monitor the ratio of positive and negative UTR outcomes on those different surfaces. And whereas previously you would have been, you know, you would have been using match wins or losers to generate an estimate of how well the player performs on different surfaces using tennis neutral and keeping a record of the UTR positive and negative results on the different surfaces, you can get a more sophisticated estimate of how they perform on different surfaces. And doing that, but what I'm suggesting for surfaces, you can do for other things as well. You can, for example, estimate whether the player performs better in matches at home or away, estimate if the player performs better against opponents they're familiar with or opponents they're unfamiliar with. Any kind of thing that you're thinking about, aspect of the player's performance or tennis progress, you can then use the app to help develop a more sophisticated estimate of how that's affecting their play. The second application for coaches, often, say, if you're coaching a team and you have four players and you need to work with player two and three, and then you've got player one and player four who you need to keep busy for an hour while you work with the other two players, and those two are itching for an opportunity to get on the court and work as hard as they can. So you can use the app. You take player one's UTR, player four's UTR. You can see the difference there. You can see what ratio of gains UTR would predict that a match between them would produce. And you can say, okay, you guys, you know, Jane, you're expected to win like 60% of matches. Emma, you're expected to win 40% of matches. Okay, girls, get on the court and let's see what you can do. Jane, let's see if you can get 65% of matches in the next hour. Emma, can you get 45% of matches in the next hour? And then you've got two unevenly rated players suddenly having an evenly rated, right. Suddenly having a competitive
something to
match.
Work toward. Yeah.
I mean, it's and in fact, when I was putting together the app, I came across a mathematical paper by two PhD students at Columbia, Raghav Singh and Timothy Chan, who both happen to be excellent tennis players. Raghav in particular was a national level player, and Timothy, I think a district level, but a very good one. And so they used UTR to develop a handicapping system. So principally because Raghav wanted to know how many points and how to give points to Tim so that they could have an even match.
Funny.
And they then produced a mathematical paper from that, which I found. And I contacted them when I was developing the app and the algorithm and said, hey, guys, look, you know, if you can do that, then answering my question is really easy. and they said, you know, I said, yeah, it is, and came back to me with an algorithm the next day, which was in fact close to mine. Ultimately, I had a third group, the students at the ANU, do the research again and come up with the algorithm again, and their algorithm was almost exactly the same as Raghav and Tim's. Wow. And so we went with that one and not. Yeah. Not the one that I developed.
Interesting. All you math brains, that's just so my kids is a math brain too. So
I started to rave there a bit. I was talking to coaches and talking about how you can use the app to bring together players with different UTRs and use it effectively as a handicapping system so that you can figure out what ratio of games those players should win if they were having a match. And then let them on court and let them see if they can outperform.
Yeah,
which of course is what you want to do as a coach. You want those kids outperforming.
For sure, for sure. Well, Rick, it has been such a pleasure to chat with you and
likewise
to learn more about Tennis Neutral. And I really do hope that Universal Tennis does respond to your inquiries, because I think it can only make things better for all of us if they, you know, incorporate the work you're doing. Take your suggestion about the ranking system, which I think is brilliant. And I would even say USTA, if you're listening to this one, maybe get Rick at the table next time you're looking at revamping the USTA ranking system, because I think these ideas make so much sense. And really, when you get down to the nitty-gritty of it, we all want our kids to have the best developmental experience possible, the best competitive experience possible. We want them to enjoy the work toward the goals that they set for themselves. And we want to provide an atmosphere that encourages learning and growth and experimentation rather than falling back, you know, into the safety arena that isn't going to help them grow. So I think everything that you're doing satisfies that. And I really hope that the people in charge are paying attention, because you've got some good stuff there. So
thank you so much. And thank you for the opportunity to talk. I really enjoy talking with you and look forward to chatting again sometime in the future. Thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And for those that want to get the app, again, the website is tennisneutral.com. We will have a link in the show notes on parentingaces.com. We'll make it really easy for you just to click and download. And again, don't forget, yes, you have to pay, but all the proceeds are going to the Nick Kyrgios Foundation, which is helping kids in Australia learn the game, get better at the game, have opportunities in the game. So it's a win-win. Rick Curnell, thank you again so much. And I've so enjoyed meeting you and look forward to our next chat. To my listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. We will catch you next time on Parenting Aces.
I'm Lisa Stone, and you've been listening to the Parenting Aces podcast. For tennis parents, by a tennis parent. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to us and write a review on iTunes. For more information on navigating the junior and college tennis journey, please visit us online at parentingaces.com. Thanks for tuning in and sharing us with your tennis community.